G'day folks, how you doing? In this video, I'm going to show you the DPRK airborne operation that happened just a couple of days ago on the 15th of March. Now, I haven't seen this before, and it's pretty interesting what they're actually showcasing. This looks like a dog and pony show for the deer leader, of course, and I'll show you that, but their airborne operations that they're trying to build on are not like anything that I've seen before. Let's get started. All right, so the crazy North Korean propaganda system is in overdrive. This lady always makes me laugh. I'll put the link to the video down below, and I'll put the link to the DPRK propaganda site. They want you to see all of these things. So they put this out in a what would seem a relatively high production value for content that's out there. So she's just explaining what's going on here, and all the images that are contained in this report are actually on the website in the link below. So I encourage you to go and check this out. That's what I'm using as a resource here. This is really important because Kim Jong-un has come out in the last couple of weeks and said that he's getting ready for war with South Korea. There's no more Mr. Nice Guy. He pulled down all the reconciliation monuments and a bunch of things that have taken them closer to reconcile with South Korea, have gone away, and he's now threatening direct war with South Korea, America, and Japan. And I think this is all going to come to a head with the Chinese, the CCP, and an attack on Taiwan. I think what Xi Jinping is going to do is elbow this guy and go, "Hey, now it's your turn, go for it." And that's going to be the world's biggest distraction and draw us into a conflict over there. Meanwhile, the CCP go for Taiwan, and the Americans are not able to fight a war on two fronts like that. So nobody is going to be able to fight a war on two fronts like that. I believe that Korea is the flashpoint for an all-out conflict, an all-out World War III-style conflict where nuclear weapons will be used. It can still happen in Russia for sure, but I think it's more likely to occur here in North Korea. Let's take a little bit of a closer look at these airborne operations. So from the photos that are provided by the DPRK, you can see Kim and his daughter are there at the Dog and Pony Show. They're all getting ready with the generals around them and watching what's actually going on. So as I look through the images that the DPRK put out, I come across this one, and this is the paratroopers as they're boarding the aircraft, getting ready to jump out. No one looks like they're very happy. And I've had to zoom the picture in a little bit, that's so I lose a bit of the resolution in there. So there's a couple of really distinct differences that I see as they are trying to develop their concept of operations, I suppose you would call it. This looks like something that's been in the works for them for a very long time. But the very first thing that I see is that these soldiers have got a rifle up under their arm there. And if you look, you can see it. You can see the butt of the rifle. We can see the muzzle of the rifle there and there. And same here on this guy and this guy here. They don't have any combat equipment. Normally, we would have a pack that sits in front of us here like that. That's where Western soldiers carry their combat equipment. So I'll show you that in a second, another photo, because I think it's really important to highlight these differences that you can actually see with these guys as well. It's interesting to see that these troops as well have got knee pads that are strapped on. So see the straps in there? So it's not sewn into their actual uniforms, and they've got the same with their elbow pads. So it's not the elbow pads strapped on into his arm there as well. So I find that pretty interesting that they don't even have proper uniforms. The other thing you will notice here that he's not wearing any body armor on his chest here, and you can't see, like, there's no photos of them from the behind, but you can't see any body armor from behind either. These parachutes here on the front end, I'm not sure what's going on with here. Like, what is that going to? Is that part of the reserve system? So here's all the things that are holding the front of the pack there open. When you pull that handle, this releases all around here like this. That's what it must do. And then it must just go pop out, and there's a pilot chute in there that pops out the reserve, and so they're under reserve as well. So there's some really big differences that we see between these Korean troops or these North Korean troops, what's going on with them, and what we have as Western soldiers as well. So let me show you the differences. Okay, so here's some American airborne troops. So straight away, you can see the biggest difference that we have here is the fellas have got their packs with them as well. So in the game, it's called combat equipment. So they're jumping CE or combat equipment. And you can also notice you can't see their weapons because their weapons are in a pouch just here. So as they lower their combat equipment, they also lower their weapons as well, because you've got your arms up when you're holding the risers of a parachute. And what you can't do is you can't have the rifle under your arm. And I'll show you a video in a sec exactly why you can't do that. Notice as these guys are walking in as well, they've got their hand covering their reserve like that, because you don't want your reserve to accidentally pop out as you're walking onto the airplane. It's going to make a big giant mess that somebody has to clean up, and then you've got to get out of the plane, get a new reserve. There's just so many things that can go wrong. Believe it or not, you would think that airborne operations are a really efficient way of getting soldiers on the ground, but it is the single most complicated thing that soldiers can do. And there's nothing more difficult than an airborne insertion. It's much easier to drive people somewhere or to actually get them there with a helicopter than it is to get them to jump out of airplanes. There's just so many moving parts and so many things that can go wrong. It's an absolute miracle that it's actually possible to get soldiers on the ground and to assault a position. So let me show you another picture of some other American soldiers getting ready to jump. All right, so you can see these fellows walking out onto the flight line, getting ready to go. He hasn't got his hand over the red handle there that you can see. I'm writing with a red pen, you can't see it. But you can see his weapon here, his weapon here, his weapon, his combat equipment. He's covering up there as well. And the yellow line that's coming over their right shoulder there, that's the static line that you hook on to the airplane itself. So there's a cable on the inside of the plane. You hook on with that static line, and that's what pulls the parachute open. You can see the static line there. It fakes out on the back of the actual parachute as well. And when you jump out of the plane, that's what gets pulled out with the bungees, and it pulls your parachute out. So that's what a static line jump is. So this is a well-refined system that has been developed since World War II. So the airborne soldiers in World War II were the tip of the spear as they jumped into D-Day. And you've seen plenty of movies around all of this sort of stuff. And it looks like the North Koreans are trying to develop the same capability. Now, if we come back to the DPRK soldiers as they're entering the airplane, you notice that nobody's got their hand covering their reserve at all. Everybody's got their hands by their side as you look down the line there as well. Everybody's got a rifle that's slung over their shoulders, and nobody has any helmet on. These things don't look like helmets at all. I'm not sure what's going on there. It looks like some old school 1980s skydiving leather helmets. I don't know what's happening there. Is it important to wear a helmet when you're doing a static line jump? Yes, absolutely it is. You can hit your head on the ground. There's a bunch of things that can go wrong. If you have a collision with another soldier in the sky, all sorts of things can go wrong. And you need to be wearing a helmet at all times to protect your noggin, because you don't want to get kicked in the head or hit your head on the ground as well, which is pretty easy to do. So let me just show you a quick video of what these landings should look like. And I want to highlight why this rifle here under somebody's arm is such a big problem. This is, I was like shocked when I saw this. You think with all of the advent of technology, the internet and everything like that, that the DPRK intelligence people would understand how to conduct airborne operations from just watching us. We've done airborne operations since World War II, and it's a well-worn path, and it's a well-refined thing. And there's plenty of people out there on the internet just like me that are airborne soldiers that know exactly how this works. Just go and watch a couple of videos, and you'll see exactly how it works. But instead, they seem to be developing their own version of this. Let me show you why this rifle under your arm is an absolute catastrophe just waiting to happen. All right, so when you jump out of an airplane and you land with a round parachute, you have no risers to pull down on. So it's not like flying a square parachute or a sports parachute where you can pull down on the risers and actually slow down your fall. When you're actually pulling down on the risers, what's happening is the square parachute is pointing down at the ground like this, and you pull down on the risers and it tips the nose of the parachute up to slow you down. So that's what the flare is. So think of an airplane coming down and the airplane is flaring to land. The parachute does the same thing. With a round parachute, you're literally just falling straight down, and the parachute is just slowing down your descent. The idea of paratroopers is to take an enemy airfield. That's why it's such a complicated thing, right? The airplanes come at low level at 1,000 feet, maybe even lower, 750 or 500 feet. You get out the door, and it's designed to put an entire battalion of soldiers on the ground to assault an airfield. We saw that the Russians tried to assault Hostomel Airport north of Kyiv and take that in a helicopter airborne assault. They chose not to use paratroopers because they understood that trying to do that, most of them are going to get killed. The assault actually was successful for the first couple of hours, but the Ukrainians came back in and repelled the attack, and they destroyed the runway and the aerodrome with artillery, so the Russians couldn't land their follow-on forces there. The point is, they tried to do a helicopter assault to take Hostomel Airport, and it didn't work, and they chose not to use paratroopers to take the airfield. And that just shows you how difficult these operations are in real time. So this video here is from some Canadian soldiers, and this guy is learning to do a parachute landing fall. Remember, you can't flare your round parachute, you must just hit the ground. And you hit the ground really hard. This really hurts. And if you get it wrong, you can get severely injured. So let me show you what it should look like. So imagine if you were a Korean soldier and you had a rifle up under your arm there. So this, when you're at airborne school, you go through like literally hundreds of times. So as I just drag the video back, so what he's done is, so see his feet are turned off. So his hips are facing this way to the right-hand side of the screen, and his feet are facing towards us as the viewer, as we're looking at it. So what happens is you turn your feet 90 degrees off to the angle of drift. And what you want to do is get your feet, your knees together. You want to get your feet and knees together. And because the theory behind landing like this is two sticks are stronger than one. That's really what it comes down to. And you want to get your feet and knees together. You want to get your feet as close together, so you don't want to have your boots offset at all. You want to have them exactly the same like that. And you want to have your knees together as well, because if your knees are apart, you don't want to click your knees together as you hit the ground, because that really hurts. So as you play the video, he hits, he bends, forces, and swings over. That's what it's supposed to look like. That's what it usually looks like in training. In practice, this is what happens. Ow. Watch, this guy doesn't get up. Ouch, man, that hurt. This guy with his combat equipment lowers his combat equipment below him, because you don't land with your CE at all. You'll notice this parachute's a T-11 parachute. So this is the upgraded version. We've been jumping the same gear pretty much since World War II, or really since the Korean War, back in my day. I'll show you that in a sec. And these are the upgraded versions, the T-11 parachutes. So they have a slower rate of descent. And everything's a compromise, right? They want you to get on the ground as quickly as possible. That's why they get you out of the plane at 1,000 feet. So you're on the ground really quickly, but they don't want to break you in the process. So they have to slow your descent down. But these parachutes are not steerable either. See how this fella here, he split his legs apart as he landed. Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. And he didn't land on his feet. He landed on his side. So see how his feet are apart there in the middle of the video? Ouch. And I bet you he clicked his knees together really hard there. This is what it's supposed to look like. Now just play the video again just to drive home the point for you as well, because it's interesting the North Koreans are trying to develop this capability. Imagine if you had a rifle up under your arm there. Ouch. Had the rifle up under your left arm as these soldiers are walking to the back of the North Korean plane. This is what he's going to land on. Boom. Imagine the rifle was on your ribs there. That would snap your ribs like they were twigs. All right, so back in my day, I used to jump rigs that looked like this. T-10B-D is what they were. That's the parachute that we used to use. You can see these guys are jumping combat equipment. The pack is hanging down from below. And you would hit the ground really hard with these things, and you could crash into each other in the sky as well, because you're getting out of the plane, doing an exit call, what we call simultaneous doors or sim doors. So the rear doors of the C-130, both sides are open and soldiers are jumping out of either side. You can put a lot of people on the ground really quickly doing this as well. So I was lucky enough to be hosted to Airborne Platoon, and I got my military freefall qualifications as well, where I learned to fly a parachute that looked like this. This is an MC-5. I used to call them a bus. When you look up, it's as big as a bus above your head. A really easy, gentle parachute to fly, and this is one that you can steer, and one you can flare as well, like a sports rig that you might be familiar with seeing. So these parachutes are, this is the way to do a parachute insertion. Once you learn to fly an MC-5 like this, you never ever want to go back to an MC-10 like that. That is just an absolute nightmare. So these ones here can also be jumped as a static line, and some operators back in my day used to jump them as static line. So the recon platoon that I was in the unit that I was in, they used to jump static line but square parachutes like this as well. So I was lucky enough that I didn't have to jump static line with these. I got to do all the free fall quals like that. And so this is just another picture of the T-11 parachute to highlight the differences between the round ones. So you can see the round ones. If you look at the mouth of this one here. It's round as well, but it's just got a different shape like this. Pretty interesting story how it hadn't evolved for the better part of 60 years since World War II, and that's what it evolved into. And in the scheme of things, it isn't that much different. It just has a slower rate of descent, and there's a couple of other little nuances that are there. So as we look at those things and you compare it to the North Korean parachutes, you go, wow, these parachutes seem really small. I thought that the North Korean stuff was based off the Chinese and the CCP version of it. But when you look closely at the Chinese and how their paratroopers operate, it's almost identical to what we do. So all they've done is just copied what we've done. And why wouldn't you do that? If you're trying to develop the capability, why on earth would you try and create an indigenous version of it? It doesn't make any sense. All right, as I watch them jumping out of the IL-76 here, there's a couple of things that I noticed. They're doing sim doors from the front of the airplane, but it looks like they're jumping two people off the ramp at the same time. You see the guy under the wing here. So he's come from this side here, it looks like, of the airplane because he's under the port side wing there. There's a few things that I notice here with these fellas as they jump out of the plane is their exits seem like an absolute dog's breakfast. What's going on with his legs here like this? What's going on here with his legs? This guy looks like he's free falling, his arms and arms and legs everywhere. What's happening here? Just put your knees together, dude. Over here as well, like it's all a bit of a mess. And even this guy as he's exiting, his legs are out there. One of the things you get drilled at as a paratrooper on your exits is to push out of the airplane as hard as you can. And as you push out, you get your feet and knees together. You're kind of tucked up into a really tight ball. It's different when you're doing a free fall exit, of course. But as you look at these static line jumps, they look like a bit of a giant dog's breakfast as you're seeing what's going on here. All right, this image is hugely telling for me as well. Just look at the doors here, how they open into the slipstream. How on earth do they push the doors open like that? On American aircraft, on C-130 and C-17, the doors go up like this on the inside of the cabin of the airplane. They don't open into the slipstream like that. It's absolutely crazy. Have a look at this fella. He looks like he's falling out of the airplane. So he definitely doesn't have his hands up in front of, on top of his reserve where he should. And this guy here is just same thing. Look, you can tell by his legs, he's just falling out of the airplane. Over here, he's got his hands up onto his risers. That's what he's looking for. So he looks like he's got his hands up like this. And it's all a bit of a dog's breakfast. This is the first dude I've seen in these photos where he looks like he's got his hands there and he's got his feet and knees together. Everybody else is just like a giant dog's breakfast. So it's easy for me to nitpick all of these things because I've seen this so many times, right? I've been part of airborne operations. I was at the airborne school. So I've seen this stuff go wrong a lot. This fella here, man, that mustn't be very pleasant for that guy at all. All right, this picture here from the ramp is really telling for me as well. What on earth is sticking out of his reserve here? Oh my God. What an absolute nightmare if your reserve comes out at the same time as your main. Why isn't that all tucked in? Or maybe that's the handle that he's going to actually pull on to actually open his reserve. I've stood on the ramp of a C-130 many times, and I don't think I've ever seen anything that looks like this. What is this dude here doing? Maybe it's the camera angle or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. But it looks like what they're relying on is the slipstream of the air to actually inflate the parachute itself. And if you look further downstream, that's exactly what's happening here. And you see this guy is now, he's gone from lying flat on the ground like this fella over here to actually being under his parachute just here. And if you look further on, they're like this. It's a very strange thing. What's happening here? Is this from the door on the port side of the airplane where he's jumped out? Like, what on earth is going on? I've never seen parachuting operations look like this, especially with this fella, what's happening just down here with him. It's a really interesting thing, what's going on. This is not something that I've ever seen in any jump that I've ever done standing on the back of a ramp of a C-130. And I've done that a lot. So it's a really strange thing to see what's going on. It's interesting how they're trying to create their own indigenous capability and create their own version of airborne operations. All right, so this is a wider photograph of what's going on. It's a real shame that the DPRK didn't record it. I saw some video cameras in the photos, but I haven't been able to find any of the footage of what's going on. So we can't see them landing or what's going on. This parachute here, have a go at that. It looks like Looks like it's got several cells. It looks like it's got one, and it's like a flower of parachutes. It's like a bunch of little parachutes inside of what's going on there. It's a very strange thing to see. Have you ever seen a parachute that looks like that? That doesn't look like a Ram Air parachute to me. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 petals on the outside of a center one like that. It's a very, very weird thing that's going on. And have a go at up here of what we were talking about in the last picture. Look at the mess that this actually is. These parachutes, how they come out. It doesn't come out in a uniform sense. And when the soldier is fully underneath the developed parachute, there's hardly any silk above his head at all. There's not much at all, is there? It's like a very strange indigenous capability that they're trying to build. I don't know how many people they're injuring as they get them to the ground, because there's no possible way that they can flare these parachutes to wash off the speed as they hit the ground, and they don't appear to be wearing much safety equipment either. All right, here's another image with more of the same, and as you look closely at it, you can see the sequence of events as people are coming out. So the parachute's open, the dude's there, there's another one there, the dude is there, parachute's here, dude is here. But my question to everybody that's watching this video is, what on earth is that? That's not a parachute or a dude. What is going on? This guy here looks like this, maybe this is like a pilot chute. Is this a pilot chute that pulls the parachute out? So that's the pilot chute there. That's the pilot chute. And maybe that's the pilot chute there from something here. So see how it looks like it's attached to the top of the rig, but now there's nothing attached on the top of the rig there. This one here is almost developed. There's nothing there on that rig either. What's really going on here? This fella here has got his arms and legs everywhere. He's got his arms out to his side. What's happening? That looks like the right type of exit that I'm used to seeing. This fella looks like he's fallen out of the plane. This guy looks like he's fallen out of the plane as well. Man, oh man, it must have been an absolute shit fight for these people in the plane and getting it onto the ground. And it really highlights to me exactly why this is the most complicated thing that any army could possibly do, and why it's very, very rarely used as an insertion technique. All right, I think maybe in that last picture it was a pilot chute, because you can't see any pilot chute that's actually holding above these parachutes at all. So maybe that's something that actually just attaches with a bungee or something like that. But notice how these guys have hardly got any silk above them at all. This like just seems so small. It's like the size of a reserve parachute. All right, so as we get to the ground phase of their operation, it looks like from some of the other photos, I'll show those in a sec, that they land and they're moving forward to assault a position, obviously from the right to the left. Like I said, it's a bit of a shame we don't have the video to see what's going on and what their landings look like. What I can see, though, is where my mouse is. I'm not sure if you can see that on the screen, right there in the dead center of the screen. Looks like there's a bit of oscillations with the parachutes. They're coming back and forth like that as they land, which can cause you all sorts of injuries. I wonder how long it took for them to actually get on the ground. Did they get out at 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet? I wonder what it was. It would be interesting to see that additional information. What I can see as I look at that picture is, man, oh man, those parachutes are like small. They are like as big as a friggin' handkerchief. All right, remember it's a dog and pony show for the deer leader, and these people look like they're going absolutely crazy and having a bit of fun as they're assaulting the position. It's a pretty cool photo with all the soldiers in the background jumping in, but this guy, what's going on with this guy, right? He's airborne himself. What's going on with this guy? He's on his hands and knees, and this fella here is being carried, or is he climbing over the low wire entanglement there and the barbed wire fence? What's actually happening? So just from my perspective as an infantry soldier, all of these people are completely bunched up. Now, I know that you're assaulting a position and you're moving forward on something. What I can say is there's no possible chance at all that this is a live fire exercise. So this guy in the rear is, let me just clear the stuff off the screen there. This guy here in the rear is like pointing this way, and there's lots of people in front of him over there to the left of the screen as well. So I doubt in a live fire exercise that you would put your muzzle of your rifle into the dirt like this guy here. And this guy, he's got his muzzle of his rifle into the dirt. With live ammunition, you just wouldn't do that stuff. And it also shows me and highlights to me as well that these people are not very well trained when it comes to this type of thing. If you're a professional soldier and you're in the infantry, when you get to go and do these things, you want to do and practice what you've been taught in training. and that is muzzle awareness. That's the first thing. So what's the muzzle awareness here with this guy? He looks like he's pointing at this dude. He's probably not. He's probably to the left of that guy, but it's hard to say. You can't tell, right? And if you look at these other people, has how they're actually pointing, if I just get rid of the drawing on the screen there, if you look at how he's got his weapon onto the ground, and this guy's been carried, he's got his weapon onto the ground, and what on earth is this dude doing as well? If you had live ammunition and there was people around here with live ammunition, you just wouldn't be behaving like that. And it shows to me that while this looks good for a dog and pony show, in practice, they're probably going to end up shooting half of each other. All right, see if you can tell me what you see in this image here. So what do you notice about these fellas? So this guy looks like he's the officer in charge. So this guy's in charge. What's missing? What can't you see? It's probably a better question. The answer is radios. I don't see anybody with a radio. This guy is just directing people with hand signals and telling people where to go. And they're less than literally a couple of centimeters apart. They're probably like less than a meter apart from each other. This guy might be standing next to him to get orders, but this fella and this fella are not. And this guy certainly here in the foreground, he's definitely not part of what this guy's... He's saying, all right, move up, assault the position. This is what we're going to do. And what's going on? Why are they bunched up like that? That just shows me that these soldiers actually don't know what they're doing from a tactical perspective, because somebody could fire an anti-armor weapon at them, somebody could fire a 40 mil at them, someone could lob a grenade at them, and they'd all just be clipped really quickly. So this is basic infantry stuff, right? And the whole reason I'm looking at these photos and I look at the DPRK stuff is because what you don't want to do is you don't want to underestimate your enemy. And I look at them and I think, well, maybe they are like tougher soldiers than what you think. Maybe they are better than what you think, but they can't even get the basics right. So this is like recruit school type basics that they're not getting right, which is a little bit embarrassing for them. All right, so as I look at this image, it reminds me of something of maybe the Korean War or World War II. I think I've seen pictures of landings on D-Day that look something along the lines of this. And when you see them up close, one thing, I mentioned it before, as they were walking to the airplane, is they're not wearing any body armor. And if you look really closely at their webbing, at the chest rig that they're wearing, they don't appear to have anything in their pouches either. So this might be an image that could be found in the war memorial in Canberra. It looks like an assault from the Korean War for sure. But these people just appear to be all disjointed and all over the place. There's no formation. They're not in one big long extended line or an arrowhead or an open formation or anything like that. It's just every man for himself assaulting a position. So what that says to me is there's no real strategies. There's no real tactics here at all. And it also shows me that there's no real command and control that's going on the battlefield. So even though I know it's just an exercise and I know it's a dog and pony show for the deer leader and everything like that, but if you're going to do these things, you should be doing them properly. I know whenever I've had to do a dog and pony show in the military, it's always been really super precise. And we want to be making sure that we're showcasing to the command exactly how we operate and what we do, because we want to make sure we get the right feedback from them as well. And we want to make sure that they can see that we're doing the job properly. So this looks to me like human wave tactics. Yeah, so you heard about them in the Korean War. We know that the Russians are using those meat wave attacks in Ukraine, and this looks exactly the same to me. And the reason that I say that is because there's no formations. Yeah, these soldiers are not moving up in sections. There's no firing and moving or anything like that. All these people are just moving up together collectively. And if that was, in fact, a defensive position from the top of that thing that they're climbing over the top of, whatever that obstacle is, a rock or a wall or whatever it might be, the enemy would just be mounting elevated fire positions, firing down on you. And there's nothing, you could send human wave after human wave up that hill and it's not going to do anything to actually take that position. You'd have to send thousands and thousands of soldiers to actually take a position like that. And we've seen the Russians use the same tactics in Ukraine. And the North Koreans are showing us that these are the tactics that they're going to use as well. Remember, these so-called airborne troops are meant to be the best of the best of their military, but it doesn't appear that they have any leadership or any command and control. Tell me what you think. All right, in this image, once again, it highlights exactly the same thing. And the reason that I say that is because everybody is just lying on their guts, looking out. they're not actually moving up. Half of them moving up and half of them actually lying down. There's no firing and moving, no covering and moving that appears to be going on. And the other thing that I see, which is the fundamental recruit school mistake, is that they're just all bunched up. And I know it's a dog and pony show, and I know these photos are meant for PR and propaganda, but if you're going to do it properly, or don't do it at all. All right, towards the end of the assault, it looks like a bunch of these soldiers get down on their guts and they're firing on a makeshift range in front of where the deer leader is, and he's inspecting them as well. All right, so this looks like the conclusion of the exercise after they'd finished on the range and that, and I know that from watching the video down below. And this, again, highlights what we talked about as they were end-planing to go jump. So if you look at his elbow pads, see the straps there on his elbow pads? And same, this guy, he's a bit closer to the camera, you can see it. Same, look at this fellow with his knee pads here. So they don't even have the proper uniforms where this equipment is sewn into their uniforms. You'll also notice when you look at them, all of their magazine pouches here, they appear to be empty. This guy looks like he's got a mag in it, like that. But they appear to be empty. There's nothing going on there. Maybe they make them empty the magazine pouches and take their rifles off them so they don't get rid of this guy. Something like that. Just saying, but they all appear to be completely empty, which is really interesting. Also, as I look, this guy doesn't look very happy. This guy's like, what the hell's going on? And his daughter that's following. This is the successor for the DPRK over here, by the way, folks. Just in case you didn't already know, which is his daughter over there. This fellow's not really very happy. But what on earth is this? If somebody knows what this is, please let me know. If you look closely at it and you zoom into it, it just looks like some sort of, I don't know, bit of plastic in there. And this looks like just, this is just fabric like that. But they don't have, there's no radios. You know, when you look at Western equipment, you've got a Kevlar helmet, you've got hearing protection there as well. And the hearing protection is also the radio that's going in there. But these guys don't appear to have any sort of head protection at all, which I found pretty interesting, especially if these are supposed to be the sharpest tools in Kim's inventory. All right, what a photo opportunity to get a cuddle from the deer leader himself. This guy, I'm not sure how impressed he is. It's hard it's hard to tell. I think it's a funny photo. The photographer must have got more than just this picture because the guy looked like he's got his eyes closed. And Kim is saying something to him. I wonder what he's saying. Maybe you can caption it in the comments below for me. Once again, as you look closely at these fellows, they've got nothing in their magazine pouches here. All of their mag pouches are completely empty. And is that because they took the weapons off them and they took their magazines off them? It didn't appear when they were jumping out of the plane that they had ammunition or they had magazines with them. So maybe that's because they don't want to have something accidentally happen to the deer leader, as I mentioned before, or maybe that's just kind of how it is. These people are very, very happy to see him, but they have to be happy to see him, if you know what I mean. What's happening here, team? Well, what do you think? What about this guy in the middle? He's so happy, he's crying. He's really brainwashed to think that Kim Jong-un is a living god. That's what the propaganda will have you believe, and that's what these North Koreans actually believe. They believe he's a living deity. It's a very strange thing. Imagine if Western countries treated their leaders as living deity. That would mean I was worshipping at the altar of Anthony Albanese. That's how stupid and ridiculous it sounds, but that's what these people here in North Korea are doing because they've been so brainwashed and the propaganda is so heavy that they believe that their leader, their dear leader, is a living god. All right, this is the last image, and it's a bit of a token image. We do this in the Western military as well. When somebody comes down for an inspection, the boss, whoever it might be, the general, the admiral, or whomever, the politician, they come down and take a photo with us like that. I don't know what it says on that sign. I tried to put it through some OCR software online, and I also asked ChatGPT, and it wouldn't tell me. I asked ChatGPT how many people in this picture, and it says about 456, and it used a bit of code to measure people's heads, and it measured the circles, right? It was kind of cool how it worked. So if there's only 400-odd people that are in that picture, they don't even have an entire battalion of airborne soldiers. And if they're all the people that were part of that activity, it just shows you how much this is just propaganda, because they lead you to believe with those images that there's thousands and thousands of airborne troops. But in reality, there's only 400 or 500 of them sitting here, which is not even a battalion. here in the Australian Army, a battalion strength is anywhere from 500 or 600 to about 1,000 people, depending on the makeup of the different companies as well. So does North Korea have more than just 500 paratroopers, or is that it? Is that all they've got? Half of one Western battalion? Their propaganda would have you think that there's lots and lots of them. The propaganda would have you think that they're really competent, the best, bravest, fittest, and toughest of all of their soldiers, but the photos show me something different. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let me know what you think in the comments below. All right, that's it for this video. Thanks for watching. See you in the next one. Bye for now.